This is Business by the Bay, here to discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions. Your host, Ajay Sani.
Good afternoon and welcome everyone to Business by the Bay, where we talk to successful business leaders and discuss various challenges businesses face and also possible solutions. I am Ajay Sani and today's show is sponsored by Payroll Vault. It is a boutique-style local payroll service provider for small businesses. Payroll Vault fully handles the payroll tasks and take over complex payroll activity from the business owners and are also helping qualified businesses get ERC, Employee Retention Credit. The credit is up to $5,000 per employee for 2020 and up to $7,000 per employee for the first three quarters in 2021. For details, please call Payroll Vault at 905-273-7020. Today, I'm very happy to be in studio with Bill Noland, who is the owner of Direct Images Interactive, a video marketing agency. He's helping businesses communicate better and succeed with high-quality video marketing and live video streaming. He has been a video producer for 35 years. He has worked over hundreds of video projects at Adobe and Apple. He has produced over 20 music videos for E40, The Click, The Coop, and others. He has worked as photojournalist for the Oakland Tribune, covering an average of 20 assignments per week for this daily newspaper. He has also completed an independent film. One interesting fact about Bill is that he once met Mother Teresa. Good afternoon, Bill. How are you today?
Hey, great. Good afternoon, AJ. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, my pleasure. So, Bill, what is your story? How did you get into the world of video creations?
Well, you know, when I was little, my dad used to make these movies with this old Bell & Howe camera. It was a film camera. And one of the fun things about it is it had a little stop motion setting where you could do single frame at a time and animate things. So my dad had made some movies of me and my sister. And then one day he made some stop motion movies of my toys moving around. The whole room was basically a mess and the room cleaned itself up. And I just was fascinated by that. And I thought it was so much fun. And my sister and I always loved to see that movie and some of these other movies he would do. So my dad was very inspirational for me in that way.
Awesome. So, Bill, a picture paints 1,000 words, right? And a video shows thousands of pictures. So how do you explain the impact of videos?
So videos are basically very engaging. So when you think about text and then you see a picture of what's being described, you look at the picture because that's a quick way to get that information. And then now you imagine an entire page full of text, or you could watch a video that's on the page, for example, a website. So a lot of people might look at the first few sentences or something and look away, but if there's a video, they typically will watch a good 30 seconds or more of the video and pick up a lot of information quickly and actually have better retention as a result.
Yeah. So business people, especially the small business owners, right? They are usually on the tight budget. And as you rightly said, videos help a lot in terms of delivering the message and also kind of engaging the user that is coming on the website to watch the video. But at times, business owners are really not able to quantify the benefits. They say, oh, there was a cost to it, and okay, shall I do it now or later and all that. So when that question comes, how do you explain typically and make them realize the value they can get out of the videos?
So there's a couple of ways you can actually track that. One is through conversions. There are some platforms that are basically called online video platforms. They're similar to YouTube. They're Brightcove, some partners of ours, Brightcove, Wistia, and Vimeo.
Okay.
And they enable you, some of them enable you to put on CTAs or call to actions where you can actually click on the video and go to another landing page where you might have an offer of some kind, like sign up for this free brochure or something of that nature.
Okay.
So you can count the number of conversions on a video in that way. You can also use video SEO through some of these platforms where you can see heat maps of specific parts of the video that maybe people watched over and over again. And you can also see the time, how many people watched the video and how long they stayed on there. How many people made it all the way to the end and how many dropped off at a certain point in time.
Does it make a difference that the video we have, is there a transcript of that video also on the page, or it has...
It actually does help to have adjacent text with the video because it helps with search engines to be able to identify the video. And when they're in tandem like that, does help. Yeah.
Good. So what are some of the different types of videos you create?
So part of what we do is video marketing, and we're looking to have people come into a website and get more and more engaged with each subsequent visit. So let's say you imagine a sales or marketing funnel mm-hmm. where someone's first coming to you, maybe through a blog, and they've discovered a video in this blog, and then ideally want more. So you've got some information about which blog they came in, so you've got a topic for your next video. If you, those particular people like that blog, they're probably going to like similar topics. So the people that first arrive, usually they're just going to want to get, you know, very high level information, not too in depth. As you get further down this, you know, funnel, if you will, it's assumed that the people are coming back because they like your content. They want more and more of it. So initially, you'd maybe want to start with something like a short form video of under 2 minutes. The graphs that I talked about earlier, okay. you can see it's basically a diagonal line that starts at the beginning of the video mm-hmm. and slopes downward for the entire length of the video. Finally, a very small percentage at the end. After about a minute or so, a large quantity of people have already left. The people that make it all the way to the end, you know they're very engaged. So usually these initial videos where they don't know too much about you, maybe they're just kind of curious, you want to keep those under 2 minutes, ideally.
So your focus is when you create videos, your clients are those mainly the business owners who want to describe their products and services, or there are other types of videos also that you create, for example, you know, some functions going on, live streaming, and government agencies, or like what, nonprofits, or what is your overall?
Sure, absolutely. You know? Yeah, there's a lot of different types of videos. So you mentioned the format, so there's uh-huh. live streaming videos.
Right. Right.
And so those basically are pretty much the most engaging type of form. And in fact, the live streaming videos, those are long form content.
Right.
Because people like the, you know, the realness of it, as opposed mm-hmm. to something that's edited and polished, right? But the different types of videos that we put out range from training videos is okay. a whole different thing from marketing videos.
Uh-huh.
Maybe there is somebody who's in a new building and they want a bunch of equipment. They want to learn how to do it, or they have to train their staff, these sorts of things. There's a product or service demo, features and benefit tours of new products or services, customer testimonials, but talking about, you know, how great it was to work with you, what the value of, you know, was for working with you, you know, what okay. they got out of it. There's how-to videos, and the idea of those is that you kind of show people how to do things, and they do it themselves, but mm-hmm. then on the more complicated projects, they know you're the expert. So if, when they come to a more complicated project they actually want to pay somebody for, they come back to you because they know you know what you're talking about. Then there's a meet the owner, tell the story. There's thought leadership videos. Those essentially are people talking about subjects that other people want to learn from them, but, you know, basically consultation mm-hmm. topics, where someone wants to get deeper into, you know, a particular type of business or learn how to get more involved. And so these thought leadership pieces will set examples and give inspire people to do things. And what's really exciting is interactive video. And so we know traditional video has been linear in nature. And so these days, there's other options to watch videos that are nonlinear. So, for example, you can set it up so that you have chapters. Let's say you had a large volume of content, maybe 10 hours of content. You wouldn't necessarily want to start and watch it all the way through and say, okay, well, this is going to take me 2 or 3 days to get through all this stuff. You may want to jump to another section of the video, but you don't know exactly where it is. So having a chapterized video where you can maybe have a dozen chapters or something and just go to your topic of choice immediately is one way you can do it. There's also similar to that is hierarchical branching, where you can branch off to specific topics that are within a piece. You can, within the video, you can set up hotspots so that your video is coming along and there might be a button mm-hmm. on the video, and then you can click it with your cursor and it will call something up like a shopping cart or a landing page, or you could get a PDF or something of that nature, subscribe to a blog or something. So that's pretty exciting. Interactive video, I think, is we're going to be seeing more of that.
Yeah, pretty cool. Sounds really sort of, as you rightly mentioned, it's exciting because normally we are used to watching videos in a sort of, you know, even on YouTube at times, if I'm looking, I'm talking from my experience, if there is like a how-to video and it's like 10 minutes long and initially they are talking, giving an overview or something, I'm not interested in that. I already know that. I'll just go like, you know, just slide the bar to say 6 minutes, 7 minutes and say, okay, the portion that I want to really see, only that part.
And so that particularly comes in handy for, you know, a lot of rich content where, you know, there might just be hours and hours. You know, maybe 100 hours
Yeah.
Something of that nature. It would really come in handy to have an interactive video interface.
Yeah, pretty cool. Bill, what is your process like? Say if someone reaches out to you, and you mentioned quite a few types of videos that you create, and say a business owner reaches out to you and says, okay, hey, I want to have a few videos, whether they are sort of descriptive videos or they are testimonial or they are just kind of owner's overview, whatever be the case, is there a process that you go through?
Yeah, so, you know, first thing I'll do is look to find out what inspired them to make a video and if they were influenced by something they saw. Was this something they, the reason I'm doing this is my boss told me to, or the reason I'm doing it is because my competitor's doing it. And I try to get more at the root level of you know, what the benefit is for having a video. Is it because you want to draw more people to your website? And, or is it because you're looking to convert for a specific campaign where you need to make an announcement on a new product and that's what you're getting out there? Or is it just simply to build viewership? You're trying to gain more social views. So I'll try to determine what the purpose of it is and what the benefits are first. And then the next thing to do would be gauge, you know, the length of the piece, you know, where we talked about, you know, what type of video it is in terms of a funnel of some kind. And then look to see what their preferences are for style and approach. Some people, they want something super slick. Other people like things that are just natural and no fuss, right? And so those are kind of different approaches, right? So if there's some larger companies will have style guidelines. And so that's real helpful to know what the tone of the video is. How are they talking about things? Is it informal? You know, are they joking around? Are they playing around? Or is it, you know, dead serious? Are we getting into a lot of meticulousness? And, you know, so that kind of really brings to mind, you know, who the audience is, right? It could be a different audience for a different video. So the best method is to have what's called a buyer persona that you can identify for brand and your business, but also, you know, for the particular campaign. Well, you're looking to attract this type of person. What is it that that person's after? Is it something you're trying to solve a problem for them? What are their pain points? And then where do they get their information? All that information is a good way to gauge, you know, what you want to put in the video.
Got it. And then how do you decide typically the length of the video? Because what I heard, and you can correct me because you know more about it than me, that depending on where you are putting the video makes a difference. For example, if we are to put on our website, then maybe the shorter videos are the good ones because the attention span of people is like there's not much of a patience. So we need to attract and give the message in like as little time as possible so that the person can get that message if the person is not willing to spend 10 minutes and can get that message in 30 seconds or 1 minute or 2 minutes, that's great. But what I've heard about, if we are putting the videos, say, on a YouTube channel, there, YouTube apparently wants the lengthy videos, at least 7-8 minutes or something like that, because the YouTube's goal is that any user who comes to YouTube stays on YouTube.
Right.
So over there, if we give a video and say, okay, click this link and go to my website, YouTube or Google may not enjoy that part. That, okay, I would prefer, I don't know whether they kind of steer it or whatever, but in terms of whether SEO or whatever be the case, I've heard that there is consistency and also the length of the video makes a difference in terms of the preferences those videos get.
That's right. So you're talking about engagement time.
Right.
And so if you think about YouTube, as you mentioned, their goal is to have more engagement time. And why is that? Well, because that means more advertising.
Yeah.
Right. So the goal of you as the business owner is to get attention paid to your videos. So you need to think about not just one place where your video is, but multiple places where the video is, perhaps multiple iterations of the same video.
Okay.
So let's say you have a campaign making a video, but instead of one video, you've got maybe five different versions.
Okay.
So just even on Instagram, you've got a much shorter form of video. Same thing with Facebook to a certain degree. And because people are kind of swiping by on their phones, mm-hmm. there's also a different format you're going to want to put together. So those videos, you really want them to be more of a vertical square mm-hmm. as opposed to a 16:9 horizontal piece, right? So on YouTube and on your website, you'd want horizontal aspect ratio. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the social media, you prefer, as I mentioned, kind of a more of a vertical square. So you've got your format and you got your length of time.
Okay.
Then in terms of the engagement time, the same could be said for your own site. What do you want on your site? You want if you want to build rankings on your site, the more engagement time you have on your site, the better. However, placing a YouTube video on your site, it's just an embed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So YouTube is still getting the benefit of that amount of engagement time. So on some of these other platforms I mentioned, like Wistia and Brightcove, it's actually tied to your domain.
Okay.
So when people are watching, say, a 15-minute video on YouTube that's embedded on your site, YouTube gets 15 minutes of engagement time.
Okay.
They watch it on Brightcove or Wistia and it's put on your site. It's tied to your domain. Your domain gets that time. So you're getting more brownie points.
Okay.
So that's a good thing. However, as I mentioned, you know, we got this multi-channel distribution. Some people just live in the YouTube world when they're watching video. So
mm-hmm.
you want to have a robust selection of videos that are available in the YouTube space that will handle the, you know, what you're trying to represent in video. But perhaps it's a different type of piece on YouTube
mm-hmm.
and at the end you can have, there are embeds you can do or you can put call to actions in your videos and links
okay.
in there so that they can go to your site. And as you mentioned, if they're just leaving all the time, YouTube becomes less interested in you in terms of promoting your channel in the YouTube space. So it's kind of a fine balance. You probably want to have a certain amount of pieces that are teaser videos,
okay.
if you will, on YouTube, and then links back to the longer form content on your space. And then maybe every once in a while, just to keep things in balance, you can do the opposite. Ultimately, you want to get them to your website.
Right. And in terms of engagement, and like that, you brought a good point that even on a single topic, there could be different types of videos that we are creating. So maybe it's like one big interview or one big description of
right.
a product or service, but then there could be a sort of a trailer kind of a thing, and it could
right.
also be the full movie or like, you know, YouTube-based, Instagram-based, Facebook-based.
And again,
yeah.
it comes back to who your audience is. So
mm-hmm.
maybe the audience in one location is a different type of persona.
Yeah.
You're targeting this area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is who you want to listen to. It.
Right.
But in fact, over here you're getting this type of person, over there you're getting that type of person. So you can learn about that and then tailor your videos to those specific distribution channels. And the one thing you did bring up earlier was the YouTube as an example would like to keep you on their channel. And Facebook is the same way. Facebook is kind of a tougher animal to nut to crack because you have to pay more to get your work seen. But it's got really good targeted metrics in terms of you being able to find the right people you're looking to get an audience, you know,
mm-hmm.
for your piece, right? So let's say you set it up, you find your audience, it's targeted advertising essentially, and now you play your video, so you've already got people in that distribution channel. So logic in some ways is going to say a certain percentage of people, if they click and go to your website, may never get there, or they get distracted and they
mm-hmm.
don't go, or they just won't do it. They're going to stay in that Facebook space, for example. And so if you're able to convert them in the Facebook space, it's just another one of your outlets. But it's not really an either or situation. It's each channel is a slightly different version or a way of converting a slightly different audience.
Very interesting. Yeah, so it's like it's a very big area overall, especially in today's day and age where, I mean, marketing has always been very important, but now there are so many options available for people to get information in different ways. It
mm-hmm.
becomes all the more important that proper research is done, and then any message or video is created in a way by targeting the audience that you mentioned.
And the same can be said for, you know, the approach of how you make the video. So, you know, some people don't really understand how much pre-production is involved.
Right.
To put something together. So you really, it's kind of an expensive day when someone's there shooting, especially if you have a larger crew and a lot of equipment, right?
Yeah.
So you need to know exactly what you're going to do and when you're going to do it. You don't want to be winging it.
Right.
So time spent in pre-production is well spent. So things go efficiently during production. And then when you get into post-production, there's no surprises about things that might have been missed. You've missed because, you know, you didn't have a breakout sheet where you're tracking all the shots you needed to get and you discovered you didn't get it or something like that. You just kind of have all that stuff laid out and organized ahead of time, so it really helps you as you're going through the project.
Actually, it was almost my next question, and you already started, like, you know, you gave some good tips already. So the question that came to my mind was, there are so many video production companies out there, and what do you think are your key strengths, and how do you think businesses benefit by hiring you?
So I would say that listening is one of my strengths.
Okay.
And also understanding marketing and some of the trends and the tools that are out there. A lot of people specialize in, you know, maybe the production aspect or the shooting the video and editing it. But because my background in marketing, we had a marketing agency for 20 years before we basically are now focusing on as a video marketing agency. So we got a lot of background information in that area. And then staying on top of these trends in video with our partners that I mentioned earlier, that really makes us unique in some ways.
So basically helping or having a good discussion with your clients in terms of messaging, what type of videos, which platforms to use.
Yeah,
and
so you know, I'll ask them some of these questions, you know, that we talked about in terms of their, you know, if they had thought about who their persona was, who the audience is, what they're trying to achieve with the video. Is there going to be more than one video? If so, why? What's the difference between them? And, you know, do you have different areas on the website that you're looking to say different things?
Yeah, because there is something called consistency, right? Depending on what type of, like, if we are going for a vlog kind of a thing where there are video blogs, then it makes sense to have it like whatever the frequency is, weekly, daily, you know, bi-weekly, monthly, whatever we pick, then in order to have an audience and engage the audience and keep them hooked, like it's important to follow a pattern.
That's right. Essentially, that's content marketing.
Yeah.
And it is good to have build an audience in that way. You don't necessarily have to do that. That's basically, you know, thought leadership is what you're talking about there, and content marketing, that's saying that if someone's interested in your content, they're going to keep coming back.
Right.
And then as they come back, you can offer them different types of things, whether it's maybe they want to hire you to do a video, or they want to, you know, put together a bunch of old videos and edit them together into an interactive video piece, or maybe they need some advice on animation or motion graphics. So all these are different topics that you can put together in a content marketing campaign. And the frequency does matter in terms of Google.
Okay.
Because the more frequency of, you know, people coming into the site, that's going to help you with your SEO. So that's a really good way to keep people coming. And then you want to promote these, you know, vlogs or other blogs that you're doing through, you know, perhaps LinkedIn and some of your other social channels. You can send out email campaigns that are letting people know you've got a special piece that's out. And you can also set it up so that when you have a new video blog or other blog, that there's an alert that goes out to all the people that have become subscribers. So but sometimes just building a subscriber base might be a goal, you know, or you're trying to attract a specific type of person. And so let's say you're after engineers, right? So you're, you know, maybe just only videos about engineering companies, or this is the topic. And so that's one group of people that you're chasing after. And then you can have another group of, you know, people in the restaurant business or something. And so these can be separate paths, and you can build a list of all your subscriber base and sort them so that only the engineers only get notified when there's engineering videos going up. They don't get notified about when the restaurant videos are there.
Makes sense. So, Bill, what, according to you, has been, you know, the key for your success? You've been doing this for 35 years, and the reason I'm asking this question is, like, it's always a journey, and there are certain things that make us where we are. So if you can please share what is key to your success, so that if there is any listener out there who's a business person, can get some inspiration and say that, okay, hey, I should also be thinking about this, if not already, and that can help a business person.
Well, I would say keep your contacts at hand. If you run into a situation where maybe you didn't have a good experience with somebody, don't burn bridges. because sometimes things can change, you know, and you, all of a sudden this person's in a great position of power or something like that, and you had burned your bridge, that's not going to happen for you, right? But if you keep a good relationship, then that's good for you. So really, I think it's really all about, you know, building good relationships with people when you're working with them and staying in touch. And sometimes it's only just a handful of people that make the difference in you know, all of your big jobs coming through.
Right.
And
right.
So, but you have to get out there and also pursue some of these other, you know, new pursuits as well, because you don't really want to have all your eggs in one basket. You need to have a little variety of things going on. You know, like I've had some big clients, you know, like with Apple and Adobe and HP, and, you know, they typically last about 3 to 5 years because we get swept in with the marketing director we know, and then they'll get swept out, and the coattails giveth and the coattails taketh away. So we'll get swept out. There could be a vacuum of business after we have left this 500-pound gorilla. So we need to not have all our eggs in one basket. We need to have some other smaller clients to sustain the business while we wait for the next big one to come along.
So essentially what you mentioned is that widen your net in terms of relationships. There'll be few solid relationships, but at the same time, it's important to continue to network and have a good network of people, and that helps whatever be the business environment, because you may get certain things at some point of time from one section, and then maybe depending on the industry or whatever the environment is going on, you may get business from another field.
Right. And you never know. You know, somebody that knows you that's in a whole different field, you're thinking, oh, I don't really have anything in common with this person. But you've got more in common than you know.
Yeah.
And if they, you kind of find out what it is they're interested in.
Yeah.
And maybe help them achieve their goals, and they can do the same back for you. You say, hey, this is what I'm interested in. Like, for instance, I'm real interested in augmented reality.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell that to people, you know, I'm not really involved in that. It'd be great. It's kind of a dream gig to be able to do that. I think it'd be a lot of fun. But I haven't really been exposed to it too much, a little bit.
Okay.
And I know some people in the industry. But I was just talking to somebody just like I am to you, and this guy had said, oh, you know, I'm starting a company like that. So, you know, he was a printer.
Right.
He's a printer, right? So I didn't have any idea that he was involved in that. But if I hadn't told him what I meant, so tell people what you're interested in, what your dreams are.
Right.
But it can't just be all about you.
Right.
You've got to find out what they're interested in. And, you know, people don't like it when you only talk about yourself all the time. And it's nice for people to be able to hear that you're interested in them. I'm genuinely interested.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a sound advice. So thank you so much for sharing all this. But if any listener wants to contact you, what's the best way to reach you?
Directimages.com.
That's an easy website to remember, directimages.com. Awesome. Bill, really appreciate your time today, and it was great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much. I enjoyed it.
So listeners, thank you for joining us on Business by the Bay today. The show was brought to you by Payroll Vault. You can find the recording of the show on our website, businessbythebay.live. Please feel free to contact us in case you have any questions. You may send us an email at info@businessbythebay.live. Take care and have a great weekend.
Business by the Bay with your host, Ajay Sani. Join us next time as we discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions.